What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, guys? My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. Here joined by Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, not bad. How's yourself?
Doing all right. Coming the day after another Rockets win. Rockets won Game 2 in very close fashion. Came down to the wire, kind of like how we predicted it would go down. We thought this game would be a lot closer in the last podcast, as you remember. Westbrook was back to his usual self. And it looked, this is kind of the series we expected, right? When we found out the matchups, we thought this was the kind of series it was going to be, right? We thought the Thunder were going to come out and try to keep these games close. And then, you know, in the fourth quarter, it would just be a coin flip, right? Like as to who gets the final say.
Yeah, this is a lot closer to what we thought it would look like, though. I do think that was kind of an everything goes right for OKC kind of game through a lot of it.
Yeah. And like, to be fair to OKC, like that was like one of the best three quarters I've ever seen anyone play of basketball ever. Like in terms of Russell Westbrook in those first three quarters, it was amazing. He had like 36 points, over 10 assists, a lot of boards. I think he might've collected close to a triple double, through the three quarters. It was very close, but he was just awesome, efficient, under control, and you know, finding his teammates. Like that's the kind of Russell Westbrook that's like dangerous as hell, right? That's the kind of Russell Westbrook, like when he's on top of his game, he's like one of the best three players in the NBA, right? And it's and this is kind of, this game kind of symbolizes like Russell Westbrook perfectly to a T. Right, like,
it was the best of Russ, it was the worst of Russ,
right? Like reason I'm saying that, it's like, you know, the first three quarters are what we all want Russ to be, and what like his supporters, like this is what they point to. These are the stretches they point to when we talk about how crazy Russ is and like, you know, how awesome of a player he is. And you know, the fourth quarter is kind of what detractors like me, like, you know, this is kind of what draws me off of Russell Westbrook. He can kind of, he'll shoot you into a game for sure, right? And at that
he did,
and by that same token, he can shoot you out of a game like he did in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, that to hear him put it, he didn't get tired, and also they didn't defend him better, and also his teammates didn't let him down. He just needed to not do that. It's as you can tell, I watched the Russell Westbrook post game. It's kind of it's kind of funny. Like they're like, "Why did you shoot worse at the end?" And he's just like, "Well, I need to do better." That's basically it. Like, so for whatever reason, it looked like he was slowing down because he was getting tired somewhat. Also, someone pointed out that after he got 10 assists, he started shooting more. Whatever happened, he took a lot of shots in the fourth quarter, and a lot of them did not go in. It was pretty ugly. I don't know that I can blame him exactly, but he definitely missed a lot of shots.
And by that same token, he ended the game plus 11. A lot of this is because, like, when Russ sat down, man, like, I can kind of understand where he was coming from, you know, putting the offense on his shoulders like that. Like, when he sat down for that brief stretch where Billy Donovan sat him, like, the Thunder just turned to crap, right? And a lot of that is because nobody on the floor could play make, right? Like, they didn't even have Victor Oladipo out there. And he got back into the game, and he went crazy. And, like, it's tough, right? Like, Russ is such a polarizing player, right? Like, I hate criticizing him as a player because he's just so awesome. Those first three quarters were awesome. Like, he was, again, finding his guys really under control, making shots, getting into the lane. But, I mean, when you have, like, Doug McDermott open for threes and you're driving into the lane with, like, packed paint, like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, I that's kind of what draws me off with Russ, right? And yeah, I mean, I just, that part of his game, it's never rubbed off on me, right? And like, it's, the way we talk about Russ now reminds me a lot of how we talk about Kobe Bryant. You know, we're not allowed to criticize him. We're never allowed to criticize him, ever. The same way with Kobe Bryant. And that kind of pisses me off, because, like, I was listening to the Low Post today, and even Zach Lowe was talking about how, like this season, Russ kind of just played Russ ball, right? Like, that was what he said. Like,
maximum Russ.
Yeah, he just did like whatever he wanted, and the Thunder did, you know, had a lot of success because of that. But at the same token, guys like Victor Oladipo, they had, I don't want to say they had down years, but they certainly could have had better years, right?
Yeah, I think this is a lot more complicated than people make it out to be, because the Thunder's other players are not just trash, so other people might say. Like, I think it is a debate over which team has better players. I mean, I'm fine with saying that the Rockets are better constructed and have better players. That's fine. That's a compliment, if anything. But I don't think the, like, Steven Adams, Victor Oladipo, and Taj Gibson are just total dookie out there. Like, these are good players.
Yeah,
they have not had good seasons, really, for one reason or another. And what is the one reason and what is the other is kind of what everybody wants to fight about, right? Like, is it Russ who's helping them to have as good a season as they could, or is Russ holding them back? Is the system holding them back? Like, I think the real question is, well, I think there's two questions. I think one, could Russ be doing anything better? And I think the answer to that is yes, but we don't. It's kind of unclear how much more. Like, yeah, he definitely needs to pass to some open shooters more often than he does, especially at the end of game two. And that's a situation that comes up a lot. But it's unclear as to what exactly this team is going to be able to do. Because this team is basically like a halfway team, I guess, if it makes any sense. Like, they lost Kevin Durant, and then they've just been kind of trying to do something, and they're still not clear to their direction, so it's not like a complete team. So it's really hard to get a feel for how good the players are and how good the team is. The other question, other than, you know, could Russ be doing anything better, is, like, how much is it really helping the team, that what he's doing? Like, has it made them relevant? Has it helping a potential? And I don't know. Like, it's really hard to answer all these questions. Like, it's a really complicated season, and the Russell Westbrook issue is really complicated, and I think that sometimes he helps the team and sometimes he doesn't, and I don't know how much more he can say than that.
Right, and I don't want to give Sam Presti too much grief, right? Like, he definitely got a curveball with this whole Kevin Durant thing, right? Like, I do think to some extent they thought KD was coming back. I thought KD was going back. When he chose Golden State, I was absolutely floored, right? Like, I didn't expect it. And I think there were people in that front office that were kind of half preparing for both situations, right? When they traded Serge Ibaka for Victor Oladipo, that was clearly a long-term move, right? And I think to some extent they did see some writing on the wall there. But I mean, in some aspects, like, I think they did think there was a chance KD would come back. And I think it's just hard to build a team on the fly when you don't really know what's going on, right? When you don't have an answer from your superstar player as to whether or not he's returning. And so I tend to sympathize with Sam Presti there. But as far as, like, what Russ did with the players he had, like, I mean, like, Steven Adams is a good player, right? Like, and like, I feel like he gets muddled in with all this trash that, you know, people tend to make of this roster, and he's actually a pretty good player. Like,
I would love to have him on any team.
Yeah, like, and so you could even make a case that Steven Adams is probably better than any of the Rockets bigs, right? And you could probably, like, make the case that, you know, Victor Oladipo is probably better than any non-James Harden guard, right? Like, I would rather have Victor Oladipo on his contract than Eric Gordon on his contract, right? Like, I don't think that's a diluted argument. I think You know, the upside with Victor Oladipo has always been present. He's a really great defensive guard, and he has shown the ability to play make in the past. And I think he has the potential to become so much more. But I mean, like when guys like Russ aren't giving him touches in the fourth quarter, like what do you expect him to do? Like I do think that hampers his development a little bit, right? Okay, as far as the game, I went back and I rewatched that game, and they made some clear adjustments to right off the bat. Like they stopped switching pick and rolls with Harden, the other big adjustment I saw was Cantor did not play that game. Like he played like 4 minutes. Yeah. I feel like Billy Donovan like got scarred for life from game one. Like he's just like he can't play like Cantor anymore. Every time he gets the itch to put Cantor in, he just has flashbacks of James Harden just kind of making him look like, you know, like a rotisserie chicken. Like I just feel like, you know, they're not playing Cantor much again for the rest of the series. Yeah. And that's evident. Like there was one possession where Cantor and Adams finally, I mean, Cantor and Harden finally took the floor together, and Harden took advantage of it right away.
It was ugly immediately. Yeah.
As far as defending Harden, they definitely took a new approach to it. Now, I'm not necessarily sure if that was like, yeah, we talked about this on the last podcast, right? Like I thought defending Harden the way they did last in the last game, I didn't think it was a bad idea. Like I thought there was some smart, you know, there was some smart stuff that went into that, right? Close out the three-point shooters and let Harden beat you in isolation, right? Just because in isolation, most players in the NBA, I mean, you just tend to be less efficient in isolation than you do off of straight pick and roll. And, you know, I mean, like, they switched their strategy, and it worked for, like, the first two quarters, like, a quarter and a half. And then when Harden finally figured it out, because, again, Harden's a really, really smart player, and he tends to figure out these things, these defenses, like, a lot. Like what the OKC was doing this game, they were bringing the second man over to show, and basically trapping Harden on these pick and rolls. And the thing with Harden is he's seen this defense like a million times this season, right? Like that's yeah. The primary way people guard James Harden.
Yeah, they're going to have to bring something new to the table too, because as you said, Rams doesn't hit anything. I think one of the big takeaways here is that the Rockets really haven't shot well yet. And, you know, part of that is that a large part is that the Thunder are being very proactive about running the Rockets off the three-point line, and it's helping. But they're also just missing open threes, like, more than they ought to. Like, the Thunder really have to hope that the Rockets don't get back to their season average three-point shooting, because this series would be even more lopsided if that were to happen.
Right.
I'm excited to see if they can get that going.
Right, like in this game, like Lou Williams and Eric Gordon were the only guys that were really able to hit shots, and James Harden to some extent, like Ryan Anderson, Patrick Beverley, you know, like a lot of their usual gunners just weren't hitting, and like when they start hitting, it could get really ugly. Like we've seen this before with like game four of the regular season against the Thunder, like they smoked them. They shot 50% from the 3-point line. Now I don't expect a game like that to happen, just because I think it's the playoffs, and I think Billy Donovan's going to game plan for the shooters like a lot, because I think he's really conscious of it. As far as the other stuff, like I just think like the Rockets couldn't find an answer at all, like in that first quarter, until they put Nene in, right? Like they were searching for, they couldn't score until they put Nene in, which was weird. And then Nene found all these easy dunks and passes.
Yeah, he's been really good at that lately.
Yeah, he's looked so spry, man. Like playoff rest does him really well. Like having Nene off like days rest, like he might benefit from days off more than any other player in the NBA. Like he's at least up there, like in terms of like his field goal percentage goes way up. His like he just dunks a lot more, and he's just more spry defensively too. Like he tends to be better at switching off these things, and he shoots like 80% against he shoots 80% from the field against the Thunder as it is. Like the Thunder really have no answer for him.
Yeah, man, his hands have been impressive, and he really does look like a different player. Like, every single penny of that room exception and more are justified just in what he's done in these first two games. So, yeah, he's been great. And also, Clint Capella's defense looked really good last game, too. he needs to keep on that role because he's looked better lately. I wish he could catch a lob a little better, but maybe Nene can take him, you know, aside and show him the ropes of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of the big things going into the season with Clint Capela was, like, would he ever become, like, a really good rim protector, right? And, like, I feel like towards the end of this game, like, midway through the third quarter, like, he started to show that awesome rim protection that he could be, right? Like, he deterred a lot of those Russ drives, right? He was right. He met Russ at the rim a lot. He switched onto Russ, and he did a really good job at that, which, like, I love when Clint Capela switches. Like I nerd out when Clint Capela switches onto a point guard. Like when he did it against Steph in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, like, he did a damn good job at it, and, like, that's when I really started to pay attention to his defensive potential. So he did a really great job. Patrick Beverley did a really good job, but, I mean, like, as far as on the defensive end, like Russ just... Like, we talked about this in the last podcast. Like, I thought what was wrong with Russ in that first game was he was just off. I think, yes, Patrick Beverley did, like, play good defense, but, like, for the most part, I think Russ was just off. I think it showed in this game. As far as the other stuff, he was rebounding. He was all over the place on the floor. He was making his threes. He made a really clutch three. Down the stretch in that fourth quarter, I think that gave the Rockets the lead, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, the role players definitely showed out. I think Trevor Ariza only had 4 points in this game, which was weird. He definitely needs to get going. He's had a slow series. They tried switching Trevor Ariza on Russell Westbrook towards the end when Patrick Beverley got into foul trouble. He did a pretty good job at it, but, like, I really think, like, Trevor Ariza probably needs to stay on Victor Oladipo, because I still think Victor Oladipo is a threat to go off. Like, maybe that's just me being naive. Like, I don't think he's going to shoot this poorly for the rest of the series, and especially considering that last game where Russ had to do everything in the fourth quarter, I think the Thunder are going to make a better effort to get him in positions to score. All right, I think Billy Donovan and Russ, they're gonna make sure he gets his, and that eases the pressure off of Russ as far as the playmaking duties are concerned. Defensively, the Rockets were okay. I mean, they had like a 118 offensive rating or something like that. Like, they just allowed the Thunder to go off, and a lot of that was just Russ. Like, I can't stress how awesome Russ was in those first three quarters. Like, they had no answer for him at all. Like, they tried a lot. They put Eric Gordon on him for a stretch, and that didn't work at all. They put Patrick Beverley, obviously, and then Trevor Ariza sort of slowed him down in the fourth quarter. But I mean, like, they had no answer for the longest time. They were just kind of waiting for Russ to beat himself, and that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, eventually there was an opening. They took it. They hit. I mean, the large part was that Russ couldn't play 48 minutes, and also they did hit some shots. Eventually, they hit a few threes. You know, Russ played less than stellar, and then things just got on a roll. If they can win that, as people have been saying, it's definitely true that if they can win that game, that's very impressive. That's a game that's easy to lose. That's a game that you'd expect them to lose, and that's a game they probably would have lost last year, and also maybe the year before that. This team is very good. They're a lot more confident than they have been in years past, for, I think, a variety of reasons, and they're really, really good at gutting through deficits and coming out with wins. So that's what I like to see, that they can somehow manage to win when their threes aren't falling. I mean, the Thunder are a different caliber of team than everybody else they'll be facing from here on out, but it's still impressive.
As far as James Harden, yesterday he had 35 points, 7 for 17 from the field, 3 for 7 from the three-point line, 18 for 20 from the free throw line. He got to the free throw line 20 times, which is ridiculous. he had 8 assists. He didn't take care of the ball well. He had 7 turnovers, but he was just awesome in this game. Hey, can we put a rest to this playoff Harden crap now? Like, I feel
it's never even been a thing. That's the weird thing, is that he has, he did not perform particularly well in that final series against the Heat, and then he had, like, a couple of bad games apart from there. Like, he's usually quite good. Other than his 13 turnover game, he's been really good in the playoffs. I don't know where people are getting this.
Right, like, and I feel like that's kind of the issue, right? Like, those games stick out where he doesn't perform, right? And that's kind of what I think clouds people's judgment on this, like the 13 turnover game or the finals performance, right? Like, those games kind of stick out in everyone's memory because it's obviously very deep in the postseason, and 13 turnovers is really easy to remember. Other than that, man, like, he's torched Golden State a lot, like, throughout the postseason. He may remember he made that game-winning step-back jumper on Klay Thompson, like, last year. Like, and, like, all the attention went to the Rockets bench reaction, right? Like, and, like, he's been awesome in this series. Like, he's figured, like, what Harden's been doing, right, is, like, the first half he's kind of taken some time to figure out how the Thunder were going to defend the pick and roll. And once he's figured that out, like, he torched them, like, every single time. He had some, like, really clutch threes in this game, right? Like, he just pulled up. Like, Andre Roberson had no effect on him. Like, can someone tweet me those Andre Roberson on James Harden stats? Like, I want to know now. Like, I want to know those updated statistics right now. I want them in my hands. I want to see his field goal percentage. I want to see which way Andre Roberson bothers Harden, because he's made Andre Roberson look foolish, man. Like,
if you want to defend Harden, it takes a village.
Yeah, he's just been awesome. And as far as going into game two, I don't think the Thunder are going to change much. Maybe they'll stop playing Kanter even more. But I mean, I don't really think that's possible.
They'll just send him home. Yeah. It's like, don't even come to the arena, Ennis. It's not worth it.
Because they, like, again, like, every single, like, the Rockets know this, right? Like, every team in the NBA knows this. When Enes Kanter is on the floor, it's like a big red bullseye. It's funny. Like, have you ever watched the British comedy Mr. Bean? Like, I promise there's a point to this. Like, there's this blue car in Mr. Bean, right? Like Mr. Bean's always looking for parking in this comedy, right? It's a running theme with the show. There's never a place for him to park, right? And there's this blue car he always sees on the road. And every time he sees this blue car, he bullies it every single time. Like, he pushes the car off the road. He breaks into the car. He does all this dumb stuff to the car every single time he sees it. Like, his eyes light up, like, every time he sees this blue car. And I feel like that's James Harden with Enes Kanter, right? I feel like James Harden is Mr. Bean in this scenario, and Enes Kanter is the blue car.
I mean, I think it's kind of Enes Kanter with a lot of players. He's not a good defender at all. I mean, he's 2-for-2 in playoff games this postseason where he has just, like, a really embarrassing defensive moment. The first one was certainly worse than the second. And the first one where he just got turned 360 degrees was ridiculous. And then in game two where Harden just Euro-stepped around him like he wasn't there, which was just equally delightful, though a bit less embarrassing. Like, I mean, at least he was just, like, frozen and not spun around.
I mean, it was still embarrassing. But, like, he was 3 feet out from the rim, and he put his hand straight up. Like, that was where Harden was going to stop. Like,
yeah. He's like, what can I do? I mean, he didn't want to pick up another foul. That's all he would have done. He didn't have much of a choice. You know, prudence, I guess, is the better part of valor, but he's going to be spending a lot of time on the bench. I don't think they can play him even for, like, 1 minute, because as soon as he gets out there, they're just going to throw Harden right into his face.
Like, as soon as Enes Kanter starts getting up from the bench, that's when Harden's going to get up from the bench. Like,
yeah. And then Billy Donovan's... Doesn't matter if Harden, yeah, it doesn't matter if Harden just sat down, like, 10 seconds ago. Nope, you're getting back in there, bud.
Like, the way they were treating, like, the way Billy Donovan was subbing in Enes Kanter, like, as soon as James Harden sat down, he brought in Enes Kanter. Like, as soon, like, right away, come in. Come before it's too late, right? Like, and then, like, I feel like that's what the Rockets are doing subsequently when Enes Kanter is on the floor for a long stretch. Right, they'll find a way to get James Harden his embarrassing layup on Enes Kanter, right? I just find this whole saga amusing, right? Like, I find it like there was this stretch last year and the year before where James Harden was abusing Austin Rivers, right? Like, he would cross him up, he would make him look foolish. Like, he made Austin Rivers fall at one point. Like, he just abused like Austin Rivers. Like, I feel like this year, like, Enes Kanter is James Harden's Austin Rivers, right? Like, every single year Harden finds this guy to just abuse in the pick and roll. And, like, this year is Enes Kanter. I just think it's funny.
If you've got the advantage, press your advantage. advantage. That's like that's the thing that irritated me the most at the Rockets the last few years is that they were very bad at pressing their advantage. This Rockets team is much more willing to do so. If they find a particular like pick and roll matchup which is exploitable, they'll just pound it until you give up. They're going to take advantage of it every single possession. Like a couple years ago, you know, they would try to get some post ups for Dwight and stuff and try to run some different plays. Not so in this D'Antoni Harden offense. They want to get points and they're going to go right for them. It's great to see these zero in on everything.
Yeah, yeah, and like again, like I don't see any way the Thunder are going to be able to stop James Harden. Like I'm pretty sure they're going to keep on hedging on these pick and rolls and keep on trapping Harden. The thing is, like, Harden's passing opens up so much, and when you have four shooters on the floor, and like your big kind of has to stay back because of that lob threat with Nene and Capella, it gets really hard to trap, right? Like there's always going to be an open shooter available. There's always going to be an open lob threat available. Like it gets really, really difficult to do that with Harden. He's seen these defenses so many times, like, right? Like he's seen this particular time of defense a lot. Like and I just think, you know, that's just the way like Harden operates. Like if he sees something enough, like he's gonna be able to adjust on the fly. He's done that in this playoffs. He's done that in the regular season, and he's probably gonna continue doing that if Billy Donovan throws something different out. The way the Thunder are gonna win this series is if Russ stays under control and does what he does in that first three quarters, right? Like if they keep, like, there was a lineup they threw out that was really athletic and big, and just like there was a lot of long arms, and the Rockets just had no answer. Like Russ was finding Andre Robertson for cuts at the basket, and like they were just upsetting the Rockets a lot. And like if the Thunder keep on doing funky stuff like that, where they forget about the shooting, like you're not gonna find shooting on this Thunder roster, right? Just find the best version of yourself. And if they keep on doing that and muck it up and they keep the games close, right? And going into the fourth quarter, I think Russ always has a chance to steal the game, right? Like, and he was off this game, but I in terms of fourth quarter, but I'm not sure if that's gonna continue.
Yeah, you can't count that out.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem the Thunder face, though, is that they can do all those things and do everything right, but if the Rockets just hit 34-35% of their threes, it's still not going to matter. But they might not. So,
yeah,
it can happen. Like, the Thunder could win 4 out of 5. They'll have to hope that the Rockets don't shoot very well. So that's why, much like this game, in Game 3, the Rockets have to go out there with their haymaker. This is the time.
Yeah, and I feel like this is probably the best chance for the Thunder to steal a game. Like going into OKC on your home floor, you know, you obviously got it, like a lot of national attention about this Russ thing in the fourth quarter. Like I think Russ is gonna adjust. Like I know he's a smart enough player. I know Billy Donovan's a smart enough coach to talk to him about it. Like I'm pretty sure, like he's gonna make a better effort to get his players involved. Like. And that's when the Thunder are at their best, when Russ is under control, right? And that's when Russ is frankly at his best.
When he's still getting the triple double.
Yeah, yeah, and like that's a stat that you know that got brought up in the regular season a lot. Like the Thunder are X and X when Russ gets a triple double. But I mean, if you look up the stats when Russ gets 10 assists, like gets like 25 points and 10 assists, it's pretty damn similar to when Russ gets a triple double, right? Like, and I feel like that's more indicative than when Russ gets these cheapy rebounds, right? Like, I feel like when he gets players involved and when he gets these assists, that's more indicative of when the Thunder are at their best. And like, that's why his stats are so awesome when he gets a triple double. I mean, that's why the Thunder is so awesome when he gets a triple double. And yeah, I think we talked enough about this game. I think the Thunder have a good chance going into this. The Rockets will have to split this probably going into OKC. Like, I think that's the advantage, right? All they've done so far is defended home court, right? They've done what's expected of them. They haven't done anything out of the ordinary, right? Now you go into OKC and you steal a game. And that's got to be the goal of the Rockets. Like,
steal this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And just take one. And because the Thunder are going to come out strong. The Thunder, I mean, you know, Oklahoma City has a really hot, you know, crowd. Like, they have one of the best crowds in the NBA, and they play well on their home floor. So I think there's a real, you know, likelihood that they'll take a game. But yeah, I mean, as long as the Rockets split, they're good. And you can go home in Houston, take game five, and you're golden. Series over, you can move on to the Spurs. Yeah, and we'll talk to you guys after game three. Hopefully this series goes well. I mean, hopefully game three goes well and the Rockets take this game. We'll see. We'll see how that works out. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter @RedNationHoops and @DoNuts. And yeah, guys, good night.